Governor Gretchen Whitmer unveiled a mountain of line-item vetoes she made to the state budget sent to her by GOP leaders in the legislature. Here is the governor today.
I did what I said I was going to do.
So what did Governor Whitmer say she was going to do that was reflected in her cuts, her slashes, and the shifting of money? Here to help us understand what the governor approved or rejected is Rick Pluta, Capitol Bureau Chief with the Michigan Public Radio Network, and Emily Lawler, political reporter with MLive. I want to start by reminding everybody just how the governor is able to retool this $59.9 billion budget that the GOP passed, the one she called a mess, into something more to her liking. Then we walk through the winners and losers in all of this. So, Rick Pluta, first things first, the governor did sign the 16 budgets?
She did, although she did some saber rattling in advance. Right, Emily? That that maybe she wouldn't.
Yes, I do believe there was that
but,
saber rattling.
Yeah, she, and I don't know if it's a record, but it's a lot, 147 line items.
Yeah.
And then she used this administrative power, it's kind of unique to the governor of Michigan, to move money around inside budgets. She can't move them from one department budget to another, but she could move them around inside these budgets, and that was just a little bit south of $600 million.
And how much did the line item vetoes, those 147 line item vetoes, what did that total, Emily?
Those are $947 million, so almost $1 billion in those line item vetoes.
Is that number of line item vetoes, is that higher than usual or par for the course? How does it rank with other years?
It's a lot of line item vetoes.
It definitely is.
But remember, too, that for the past 8 years, we've had a Republican governor, we've had a Republican House, we've had a Republican Senate. So this stuff typically got negotiated in advance. Now we've got a Democratic governor, a Republican House, a Republican Senate. And so let's just say that the process has not been quite as harmonious as what we've been used to of late.
So when you talk about these interdepartmental budget transfers that I know you explained to us yesterday, Rick, these date back to the John Engler era, talk about the line item vetoes. So who gets to do what with all of that money, Emily?
You know, obviously, this is funding state departments starting today, actually, for this fiscal year. So state departments have to look at this final product, which is kind of a mishmash of what the legislature put in and then what Whitmer eliminated and moved, and decide how to go from there. But there are concerns that actually some of this money isn't enough for some state departments to maintain the things they have been doing. Department of Technology Management and Budget and Corrections Department are expecting that maybe even some layoffs could come of this. So departments have to figure out how to operate within this constraint now.
All right, let's talk about the line item vetoes. Rick Pluta, what are some of the big items that Governor Whitmer, crossed off, got rid of in this GOP-crafted budget? Who are some of the major winners and losers in the line item vetoes?
Well, you know, I'd kind of like to focus on one because I thought this was interesting, that she line itemed the Pure Michigan travel program, the one that advocates for sells traveling in Michigan.
Yeah.
And a lot of tourism takes place in districts that are represented by Republicans, and they like that. And the reason it's fascinating is, first of all, everyone knows it. But the other thing, too, is I think it speaks to what a lot of these budget machinations are really about, which is getting Republican leadership back to the table and trying to bargain, what I would call budget 2.0.
So get us back. Go ahead, Emily. What do you want to add?
One more big one I'd throw in there is some stuff out of the transportation budget. Governor has been really clear that she's seeking a holistic, long-term roads plan. It's part of what derailed these budget talks. The Republicans had included some one-time road funding, and she struck a lot of that out. She's still looking for that bigger solution.
Yeah,
that permanent solution, that tax increase that's been anathema to Republicans to date.
So basically, she wiped out that $375 million that the lawmakers pieced together from those other department budgets to prove, yes, we can fix the roads and not have to raise taxes. And she's like, we're going to talk.
You got
it. That's not going to work, yeah.
There were some other things that were slashed that seemed to perhaps be designed to create pain points for GOP lawmakers. Did we see any of that in these budget shifts, Emily?
Absolutely. Well, as in terms of the shift specifically, I think she got in a little dig on the PowerPoint presentation. She put in a lot of money in the DHHS budget, did some
Department
shifts.
Of Health and Human Services. Yes.
Did some shifts to make sure that they could properly fund Medicaid work requirements, which are a new legislative requirement coming online, coming up here. And in moving part of that around, she mentioned that she took some budget line items from more specific areas, one to the Van Andel Institute, and put it toward that
cause. One stuck out at me. Very Grand Rapids, West yes. Michigan, and of course, you know, J. Van Andel yes. is kind of a Republican icon.
That was $9 million.
Yeah,
it was earmarked.
Yeah.
So it was like, no, it's going to help people meet those Medicaid work requirements. So that was quite the shot across the bow. She also took like $90.9 million from 43 items in Attorney General Nessel's budget and put them into her department's base operating funds. Is that the idea? I'm going to give the Attorney General more latitude in how she's going to use that funding?
I think that is the idea. And there were some concerns from the Attorney General's end on just her department being so segmented. I think she called it an administrative nightmare, perhaps, or something,
well,
something
remember,
along
too,
those lines.
Republicans were wanting to create these conditions, these parameters around which the Attorney General could operate, that she would have to get legislative permission before filing some types of lawsuits and stuff like that. So, just a lot of partisan rivalries being set up in this budget.
Like a budget chess game. So here's the big question of these line item vetoes. These 147 line item vetoes have been unveiled. The interdepartmental budget transfers have been unveiled. What's been the Republican response to these budget maneuvers, Rick?
Well, mostly silence, but the governor has said that she wants to convene a meeting of what's called the quadrant, which are the House Republican and Democratic leaders, the Senate Republican and Democratic leaders, to try and restart these budget negotiations. Senate Majority Leader Republican Mike Shirkey has said that he's ready to show up, but we haven't heard from any of the of the other leaders yet.
And Senate Majority Leader Shirkey also said he didn't want to get involved in a tug of war. So I'm sort of wondering, obviously the question is, she's set the table for sort of a new negotiation, pushing through a supplemental, talking about which of these vetoes stay and which Republicans might be able to bargain back for. But the question is if Republicans are really, game for that at this point.
So certainly from what you're telling us and the story you're painting, there was when you think of the political calculus that we can glean from Governor Whitmer's budget decisions, she wasn't just moving money into her priority, but she wanted the Republicans to feel that. I mean, slashing funding for charter schools and college scholarships. And as you say, Rick, pure Michigan. I mean, when you think that Lee Chatfield's district includes Mackinac Island and the House floor leader has Torch Lake and Boyne Mountain. So,
well, but here's the big question is that so far what we've been hearing from Republican leaders, Emily, I'd say for the last 48 or for the last 24 hours on this has been it's just no go on a lot of the governor's major priorities. And even if the Republican leaders were on board, and Cindy, I know that you are a big fan of the musical Hamilton.
I am.
And, what the refrain is when Hamilton comes in with, his financial plan and he's told you don't have the votes. You don't have the votes. I'll sing it for you. Yeah. And that's kind of the position that she's in. Even if she gets buy-in from the leaders, can she get buy-in from the Republican caucuses?
So that has to be figured out. And then meantime, for Emily, you alluded to this, for Whitmer's department heads, has it been kind of a head-spinning day?
A lot of them came to the administrative board meeting this morning and her press conference afterward, and I did get a chance to catch up with some, including the Department of Corrections director. This is a big change, and it's handed down basically day of. I'm assuming they got a little bit more of a heads up than perhaps the public, legislature, and media because the vetoes were signed last night but not released until this morning. But yeah, departments have a lot to deal with, and they have a lot to deal with right now.
With no certainty that this is going to be the final result, as this stuff may get rebargained as you know, the Republicans and the governor start talking again.
This could be the never-ending budget cycle.
How much of this is the governor saying to the legislature, hey, thanks for getting me the budget 84 hours before the constitutional deadline for me to sign or veto these budget bills?
Gee, did that come up, Emily?
You know, she might have mentioned the number 84.
Yeah, I think it might have come up. Yeah. Once or twice. Yeah.
So what have we learned through all of this about the way that this governor and this legislature will be working together going forward?
You know, nobody's afraid here. The governor was very clear that she wanted to, that she did these, you know, kind of drastic measures, or not drastic, I'm sorry, but, you know, these unusual measures, perhaps, and that she felt like they were necessary because of the budget that she got. And at the same time, the legislature, you know, when the governor wasn't negotiating with them anymore, which she says was never a negotiation, by the way, because they were giving ultimatums, you know, the governor wasn't afraid to say, you know what, send me the budget. And then she wasn't afraid to do what she did after that. So I think that they're kind of setting up a real head-to-head here.
It seems to me like the governor is trying to figure out how to play an effective version of hardball with a legislature that seems willing to stand its ground.
Well, there we go. And Rick Pluta, nice job working cabinet battle number one from Hamilton into today's conversation. Rick Pluta, Michigan Radio's Lansing Bureau Chief. Emily Lawler from MLive. Thank you so much to our Lansing team.